You're listening to the Unlock Careers podcast.
Hello, this is Chaz Foote with Unlock Careers. I'm here today with Vicki Thomas. Vicki is currently a director of product management at Vivint Smart Home, the leading smart home service provider in North America, based in the Salt Lake Valley with over 1 million customers. Prior to Vivint, Vicki was the lead product manager at Lucid Software and a product manager at Adobe. Vicki graduated with a BS in aerospace engineering from MIT in 2012, and recently she was voted as one of Utah Business's 30 women to watch. So needless to say, we're grateful and extremely excited to have you on today, Vicki.
Hey, thanks, Chaz. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So today we're going to hit on three topics. First, we're going to talk about what product management is from Vicki's perspective. Next, we're going to talk about management in general. And then finally, as we normally do, we'll let Vicki give some advice to aspiring product managers. So let's just jump right into it. And Vicki, would you mind briefly telling us about your current role and how you got there?
Sure. So as you mentioned, I'm currently a director of product management at Vivint Smart Home. So I get the really fun job of leading all of our product development efforts for all of our AI products. So that includes our user-facing experiences, smart home experiences like your Vivint system, remembering to turn off all your lights and lock your doors and arm your security system when you go to bed for the night, detecting what's going on in your house in terms of if people are home or away or asleep or on vacation, and automating your home accordingly. But it also includes all of our integrations with things like Alexa and Google Home, as well as all of our kind of back-end models and data science that make all of those experiences possible. So really fun set of products that I get to work on. As a product manager, well, I actually have kind of a couple of different jobs at Vivint. So as a director of product management, I lead a team of me and one other product manager that do the kind of typical product management jobs, which I'll talk a little bit more about in a minute. But then I also lead what we call a vertical at Vivint. And so that's kind of a product line for all of our AI products. So they're actually about 40 to 50 people that work on our AI products at Vivint. And so I sort of lead that whole group, not from just a product management perspective, but also kind of a general management perspective. So we can go into to either of those, in more detail if it would be interesting.
Yeah, let's start with the product management side first and then go to the general management side after, because I think they're obviously both interesting, but I think let's take that path.
Sure, sounds good. So let me tell you a little bit more about what it means to be a product manager, and kind of the path I took to get there. So sometimes people say that being a product manager is like being a mini CEO of your product or your product line. And I think there is a lot of validity to that, in that you get to participate in a lot of different things. You know, some days you're kind of you're playing designer, some days you're playing customer service representative, some days you're working on product marketing, some days you're working with the engineers to figure out how to architect the technology. Sometimes you're being a product manager or project manager. It all kind of depends. So you get to do and get to do a lot of different things, and you're kind of the glue between all of those functions. But some people take offense, I think, to saying that a product manager is a mini CEO. And the reason is that product managers have no direct authority over any of those functions or any of those people. None of those people report to me or other product managers, but it's a product manager's job to sort of tie them all together with some of the soft skills of relationship building and influence to ultimately deliver a really kick-butt product.
So that's really interesting. And I want to ask you a little bit more about what you do in that type of instance, first of all, and then I'll have a follow-up to that, kind of talking about the knowledge that you need to have. But first, like, how do you motivate people that don't report to you?
For me, it comes down to a couple of things. first of all, I read in a fortune cookie once that you have to look into people as well as out at them. And I love that fortune cookie because I thought it really speaks to leadership in general. You're never going to be successful at motivating people if you're just looking at them as resources. And so for me, getting the team to work together to accomplish something great, that in and of itself is a really rewarding job and one that takes a lot of genuinely understanding the individual people on the team, understanding what makes them tick, building a really cohesive team culture where everybody feels inspired by the vision of where you're going, which as a product manager, it's your job to sort of set that out for people. But they have to feel inspired by the vision, and then they have to feel a really strong sense of ownership for delivering on that vision, for making it happen. And I think if you can lay out an inspiring vision and instill a sense of ownership in your team and make it fun to be a part of doing what you do with team activities or just cracking jokes and generally not taking yourself too seriously, ultimately I think everybody will work together to build something really great.
Gotcha. So it sounds like you didn't talk a lot about incentives there. And I would think that would be a tough part too, because people go to work to, there are incentives both financially, non-financially, et cetera. You talked a little bit more about the vision, but how do you think about incentivizing people when you maybe don't even have control over how they're incentivized? Like, I would think that that's probably an interesting dichotomy as well within that context.
Yeah, and we do some, we've initiated some traditions on the team that allow our team leaders, but also individuals on the team to recognize other people on the team. So things like, spot recognition in the form of little gift cards or thank you notes or, recognition in team meetings, things like that. But really, I think if you have laid out that inspiring vision and made the team feel committed to the vision and to each other through your culture, people don't really need to be incentivized. I think it is important to go out of your way to appreciate and recognize people when they go above and beyond and do great things. I think incentives are kind of a short-term solution or a band-aid that are good if you don't have people's real buy-in and commitment. But really, if you're trying to build something great, both a product and a team, really you're shooting for that longer term buy-in.
Gotcha. The sign of a good manager. Oh, now I'm just the guy asking about incentives on the other end. So I want to ask this question because I think it's important and probably something a lot of inspiring product managers think about, and that's the role of managing engineers and the level of knowledge you need about computer science. You obviously study engineering in school. It wasn't computer science. How have you been able to successfully manage people, and how much computer science do you know?
Yeah, so first of all, let me say that that I think it is absolutely not a product manager's job to manage engineers. That's the engineering manager's job, but it is definitely a product manager's job to lead engineers, just like it's their job to lead the whole cross-functional team, including engineers and QA and user experience design and other product managers. So, and I think that's an important distinction because, it kind of gets to your last point. If you're a product manager because you want to boss people around, you're not going to be a good one. And so really it's again sort of I view my engineering manager counterparts and the engineers on my team really as peers, where we're all kind of different pieces to the puzzle, and we need all parts to build a great product. That said, to your question about how much computer science I know or how much you need to know as a PM. It kind of depends. I think you absolutely do not have to have a degree in computer science to be a product manager. And there are a lot of different kinds of product managers, hardware, software, et cetera. so it'll vary a little bit, but I think thinking like an engineer, and by that I mean like thinking through things logically and analytically and really being naturally inclined to turn to data to make decisions, those things are all really important. But you can do those things and have those instincts regardless of what you studied in school. I've worked with product managers who studied everything from computer science to psychology to anthropology to aerospace engineering like myself. So really, I don't think there's like a there's a firm requirement. I can read code. I can at one point I could write very basic code. I did take a couple programming classes that were part of my major in school. But really, at the end of the day, I think the important thing is not so much whether you can understand the syntax of a given programming language, but whether you can kind of understand generally how software applications are architected, and be able to learn quickly so that when you're in conversations with the engineering team about how a new feature should work, you can follow along and understand the implications of how their choices might affect future functionality.
Gotcha. So the bottom line is, if I'm summing up your comments over the last few minutes, is it's way more about leadership than any type of technical skill or anything of that nature, right? You have to be a good leader, you have to have a good vision, and if you're able to do those two things, there's a chance you'll have some success.
I think that's right. And I would say there are some specific product management skills in addition to leadership that I think are really important. One is the ability to break down really complex and sometimes nebulous topics into different concrete chunks that can be tackled and solved by the team. So one of the things we've been thinking about recently on the Vivint team, for example, is how do you break down smart home artificial intelligence into concrete chunks of value that we could architect and build and release to users? And a lot of times you'll have a team of user experience designers and engineers and other product managers who are like really eager and excited to work on a project, but they don't really know where to start, and they can get overwhelmed sometimes by how interdependent and overlapping all of the different pieces seem to be. And so being able to lead the team through the process of breaking things down into actionable chunks and making things a little bit less muddy, I think is definitely one of the most important traits of a good product leader. So that's one. And then the other thing that is really important as a product manager, beyond sort of just general leadership, is a relentless focus on your users. It's your job as a product manager to really be the expert in who your users are and what they need and what they want, what their problems are and how they're going to feel at any given time, and then to champion all of those things back to the team. And so, one of my jobs is when the team is saying, well, we could do this thing or we could do this other thing, and here are the pros and cons, it's my job to stand up and say, well, what would the user want? What would be best for them? And having that focus sort of deeply embedded in you as a product manager, and then being able to ask those questions so that focus can become a guiding light for the rest of the team, that's really your most important job.
Gotcha. And how do you get in touch with your user? I mean, that's when you have a million users or so, like that's a it can be a tall order, I would think.
Yeah. There are a couple of different things that we do, and this kind of depends on what kind of product you're working on. So if you're working on B2B applications, or what stands for business to business, then oftentimes you're a company that has relationships through some sales contract with your customer's organization, and you can kind of work through an account manager or something like that to set up a customer visit, and you can go on site and you can ask them lots of questions. And that's something that I've done in the past at Adobe and at Lucid. At Vivint, working on consumer products, it's a little bit different. And I think it's really fun, actually. So there are a couple different things that we do. One is we will send out surveys to different segments of our user base. You know, if we want to survey parts of our customer base that have used our Google Assistant integration to turn their lights on, to ask about that experience, you know, we have all that data on the back end that allows us to segment those users so we can send just them a survey to ask about their experience. So we do that with good frequency. We also oftentimes will then take particularly interesting survey responses, and we will follow up with those customers and set up user interviews specifically with them to understand some of their responses in a little bit more detail. And I really love talking to users in that way, in phone interviews or video interviews, because you actually can kind of build a relationship with them and get to know them. And that's just something that I really enjoy. So we do that, and then we'll also do interviews in customers' homes or even follow along with some of our sales or technicians to go to people's homes and sort of learn about their experiences firsthand. So really there's a wide range of ways that we get in touch with our customers.
Great. So I want to pivot the conversation a little bit now. And you referenced Adobe, you referenced Lucid. Obviously, we've talked about Vivint a lot. And so I want to know what the big differences are between being a product manager at a large, obviously a huge company at Adobe, a startup at Lucid, and maybe more of a mid-sized company at Vivint. Can you kind of compare and contrast how your role differed between those three companies?
Yeah, sure thing. And I've also learned a lot about product management along the way. At Adobe, it was my first job at a school, and I didn't really even know what product management was, so I was kind of learning as I went. But there are definitely some key differences. So, Adobe is a really big company. We're working on enterprise software. So again, that B2B kind of software that I mentioned before, working with some really, really big name brands and customers that are kind of household names. And then at Lucid, I went totally to the other end of the spectrum and was working at an early stage startup on a small team, a product that was still, pre-product market fit, trying to figure out what was the real value proposition we were delivering and for who, all the while, building up our team and trying to get it off the ground. And at Vivint, it's somewhere in the middle. I'm working on brand new products that are pushing the bounds of a brand new space, technology space in smart home, but at a well-established company that's certainly a lot bigger than Lucid was. So I think some of the key differences and that I've seen at bigger companies, product management involves a lot more aligning people. So at Adobe and at Vivint, it wasn't the case that you could just, have a great idea and work with the team. The team couldn't have a great idea and then just immediately go implement it. There's a lot more considering how it relates to other maybe overlapping or adjacent products and teams, and trying to get everybody kind of on the same page about the fact that you should go forward and do the thing that you're talking about doing. Whereas at Lucid, it wasn't uncommon for us to, have an idea in the morning and then be building it that afternoon. So,
yeah.
So the pace and kind of alignment aspect of it, I think, is definitely a big difference. The other thing I would say is that at Lucid and other smaller companies, being a product manager is kind of like you just wear a lot of different hats and you kind of do whatever it is that needs to be done. And I think that's the role of product managers everywhere, but at bigger companies, you know, there are teams that are dedicated to like creating the surveys that you might send out to customers. Whereas at Lucid, I wrote all the surveys that we sent out to customers.
Right. Right.
And my husband's actually also a product manager, and he uses an analogy that I like a lot, that being a product manager is kind of like being that drawer in the kitchen where you put all the stuff that doesn't have a home in another drawer. You know, it's your responsibility to do all the things that aren't really anybody else's job.
Right. Right. And so I think that's actually a decent segue into my next question is, product management seems to be a field that is extremely popular. It's a very sought after job. Given your description of it kind of being in, you know, a mixed array or a mixed bag of skills and you don't really know maybe what you're getting into before you start, why do you think it's become so popular over the past few years?
Well, I think there are a lot of people like me that have short attention spans and want to do something different every day, which is one of my favorite parts about product management. You know, when I studied aerospace engineering in school, I did these internships where I was like sitting in the same cube all day, every day, designing the same part that team had been designing for 30 years. And I wanted to do something that was more dynamic and fast paced. And so product management, I think, is a really great example of that, where you get to kind of have your hands in a lot of different things. It's also a really great combination of business and technology. And so for people who wouldn't be satisfied, you know, just working on business problems or just working on technology problems, I think it's a really great middle ground. And also I think it's trendy because it has become trendy, and that sort of feeds on itself. It's obviously, you know, it's obviously a leadership role, as we've talked about, pays well. And so I think for a lot of reasons, it's very appealing.
Yeah. And to that end, I imagine you have probably spoken with many aspiring product managers. You probably have managed, as you mentioned, a number of product managers. What advice would you give to those people trying to break into the industry today?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there's so much different advice that you could give to aspiring product managers. But I think the two most important things that have helped me be successful and that I see in other successful product managers is, you know, one, understand that it is your job to lead, not to manage. We talked about this before, but your job is to create an amazing team and get the best out of that team. Realizing that the answers are in the team, not in you, and making sure the team understands that too. And then the other piece that I think is really important is that sense of ownership. You know, you shouldn't ask anybody to do something that you wouldn't do yourself. And that includes, you know, staying late to get a new build out or trying to meet all of the sprint commitments. I think everybody is kind of in it together on the product development team, and you should demonstrate a personal commitment to the success of your product and your venture, whatever that takes. And then the team will be inspired by your example to take that same ownership.
And it, kind of one more follow-up there. If you were in college or perhaps you were trying to make a pivot into product management, are there any specific steps you would take in terms of education or people that you would maybe talk to or with a certain background? What would you
definitely
get from that view?
So the advice I always give to people specifically about the experiences that they can try to get to prepare for product management and to help them land PM jobs, is to build stuff. And that doesn't mean it has to be a traditional product per se, or a software application. It could be, but it could also be, you know, building a community around a meetup group, or it could be building a project at home, or it could be building a network of volunteers to tackle some problem in your neighborhood. I think the experience of building something from scratch, regardless of what that thing is, and doing it with other people, and then being able to talk about that and what you learn from it, that is really valuable experience as you're looking to get into product management, because it gives you the opportunity to identify needs of the people that are going to benefit from whatever it is that your project is, and then talk about how you went through a design and build process to meet those needs. And really, at the end of the day, that's what product management's all about.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I love the don't ask people to do things you wouldn't want to do. I think a lot of managers could probably learn from that a lot. So that's great advice. A great call, and thanks for joining us today, Vic. We appreciate you coming on.
Of course, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Unlock Careers podcast. Check us out at unlockcareers.com or follow us on LinkedIn.